Oasis Podcast, Episode 17, Britpop Revival Show, live in Northampton and Glastonbury. So welcome back to the Oasis Podcast. This is Episode 17. Thank you very much to Nick Amis for last episode. It was a really good chat with Nick. It's good fun. And as we discussed in that episode, if you'd like to help out his film project, She's Electric, then please go and check him out online at She's Electric MOV. And Twitter's probably the best place for that. He has told me that there's something big in the offing, and I don't know what it is yet, but it sounds quite exciting. So stay tuned to that. That sounds very cool. So it's a bit of a different show this week. On Saturday, I was at the What's the Story event in Northampton that I've been talking about for the last few weeks. Anton Tell, who is a previous guest, and his good buddy Steve put that on. And so I went down there with four of my good friends from school, which was good fun. To sort of have a few drinks and dance around to Oasis. What could be better than that? And so what I did is I took my trusty iPhone along and I recorded some interviews on the hoof with people, and I'll be playing them for you in a bit. I think it's an interesting episode. We spoke to a few different people, got a few different views, and you can tell as they as the night goes on, the interviews get a little bit looser as the drinks had flowed. So yeah, but enjoy that. However, before we get onto that, I just want to play you this. I was on the Britpop Revival show last week. That's a really good show run by a great guy called Nick. The radio station is Phonic FM. It's based down in the southwest. But it's a really good show, and Nick very kindly asked me to come on to talk about the podcast, which I did. And so if you're a regular listener of this, you've probably heard the story before, so feel free to skip about 8 minutes worth if you don't want to hear me talk about why I set it up again. But it's an interesting little interview, and I thought it'd be worth putting on. So over to Nick talking to me.
And I'm delighted to say we are joined on the line by James from the Oasis Podcast. Hello, James.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, we're great. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we've been following you online for a few weeks now, as the podcast has kind of been growing in strength and numbers. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is?
Yeah, absolutely. So I call it the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. And so basically, I love podcasts, especially I listen to a lot of Beatles podcasts, and I just couldn't believe there wasn't an Oasis podcast. You know, there's so many stories that need to be told about Oasis, you know, both people that were involved in the band and also people that were inspired by the band, and no one was telling those stories. And I love podcasts, and I thought, well, I'll just do it myself then, basically. and the spur for it was really the film Supersonic that came out last year, because it ends with Nebworth. Spoilers. It ends with Nebworth, and so you think, but that wasn't the end of Oasis. You know, they carried on for another 13 years, but, you know, and there's so many interesting stories to tell. But so I thought, well, no one else is going to do it, I'll do it.
Well, that sounds like a good reason to me. And so you've had a few episodes up there now, and you've been getting some pretty good guests on.
Yeah, it was a bit mad, really. I didn't know what it would be when I first started. I sort of thought it might just end up being me sort of talking to my friends, really, who are all big Oasis fans. And I sort of just sent out a couple of emails, you know, and tweets and things to people. And the first one that came back was a guy called Mark Feltham, who was the harmonica player, played on Oasis, various tracks, played at live at Nebworth and Loch Lomond and all those. And he just came back and said, yeah, I'll come on. So, well, okay, well. And so that was kind of my calling card then, really, because after that, I then got Brian Cannon, who was the sleeve designer for all of Oasis stuff, and he also did all the Verve stuff and Super Furry Animals, and, you know, just every decent record cover from the 90s was basically Brian Cannon. So he came on. And then so that was an even better calling card. And it kind of peaked this week, which has just been insane, because Tony McCowell came on. Who, if you don't know, listeners, he was the original drummer for Oasis, you know, founding member of the band, played with them all through Definitely Maybe, all those amazing singles, and then unceremoniously dumped, just as some might say, went to number one. So yeah, to get Tony on was an wow, what an incredible, incredible kind of coup for it.
And yeah, absolutely.
And the listener numbers have just been insane really since. So yeah, from what I just thought would be, you know, me and my mates sort of sitting around chatting about Oasis, reminiscing about the 90s kind of once a week or once a month, and suddenly it's like, oh, okay, it's a little bit more serious now. And yeah, but it's been amazing. And thank you everyone who's followed on Twitter and got involved and done reviews on iTunes, and you know, it's been absolutely brilliant. And so thank you everyone who's been involved.
Okay, well, that's brilliant, and it's great to have such a good reaction and really start to get those listeners coming in. And like I say, I mean, you know, it starts to snowball, doesn't it? You're getting some really great guests on, that brings in more guests. And
well, that's the thing. I mean, so once you've got Tony, it's like, well, where do we go from there? I mean, you know, I mean, Liam and Noel are maybe a little bit above my pay grade, but I did actually, you know what, today I just said, you know what, and I said to my kind of, I said on Twitter, I've just done it. So I went, I found out that who Liam's management is now, and I just sent them an email and said, look, you know, because I've now at least got the numbers and sort of to back it up. Now, I don't think I've got a one in a million chance of getting Liam, but you never know, we might get him. So, but then people like Boned, you know, he's still active, does stuff. A lot of the Oasis, I've said this on the podcast before, but a lot of the ex-Oasis members kind of disappear off the face of the earth a little bit. It's all a little bit suspicious. So Gwigsy, the original bass player, kind of hasn't really been seen for about 15 years. Similarly, Alan White, who was the drummer after Tony, he, you know, he's just disappeared from the face of the earth. So there isn't that many people that are out there to get. I mean, you've got, as I say, I think it's Boned, really, Andy Bell, Gem, Zach Starkey, and Chris Sharrock, who drummed right at the end. And then obviously the Gallaghers would be incredible. But we'll see. I mean, it's not just for me about the people that were involved in the band. It's about, as I said, it's people that were inspired by the band and have gone on to do interesting things. So, you know, a brilliant guest was a chap called Brian Garcia, who's at Oasis DNA all over the internet, and he's probably the greatest collector of Oasis memorabilia in the world, you know. And just people like that that have been inspired to do things. And then just a quick plug, if you don't mind, on Saturday night, another chap who came on, a guy called Anthony Antel, he was inspired by Oasis and now sort of does these DJ nights and sort of nostalgia nights based on, you know, primarily 90s music and, you know, 80s indie and things like that. And so we're doing it, and I've been involved in it, and we're doing a night this Saturday in Northampton. And so it's going to be, yeah, hopefully pack out the Charles Bradlaugh, the venue, with a few hundred people singing along and dancing around to Oasis tracks, which is just, you know, which has been great because I love doing the podcast, but it's also then the opportunity to go and do these other bits as well, like listener meetups and I say nights like that. So yeah, it's been really exciting.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent. So for people who haven't come across the podcast yet, how can they get hold of this? How can they listen? How can they get involved?
So the easiest way is just to search on iTunes Oasis Podcast. I mean, I think that was probably my best decision ever, was just calling it Oasis Podcast, because it's very easy to find and it kind of makes it sound official when it's 100% not. But so just search Oasis Podcast on iTunes or your podcast app of choice and you'll find it. If you follow me on Twitter, I mean, I'm, you know, the podcast is on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Twitter's the main thing that we get involved in, and you know, and you've been on there as well. We have some fun and games and do some polls and have some banter and things like that. So at Oasis Podcast on Twitter is the best one. And if you want to support the podcast, I've got a Patreon, patreon.com/oasispod. And one of the sort of funny things that we do is that if anyone chooses to support us at $3 per month level, we will write and record a bespoke song for you. And so me and my friend Joel, who I was who's listening right now, so all right JC, he's a bit of a musical renaissance man, and so I sort of put a rubbishy demo together, he then makes it into a proper song, and then we'll do that someone for $3 a month, which is kind of a weird thing to do, but hey, it's good fun.
It's amazing what you can get on the internet for $3 a month, but we won't go any further with that. Okay, listen, James, it's been a pleasure having you on, and it is a great listen, the Oasis podcast. So guys, if you haven't heard that, I would say absolutely seek that out. But we can't let an Oasis expert go without asking him to pick a couple of tracks. So what I've asked James is for his favourite Oasis single and a track that perhaps people might be less familiar with. So what did you go for, James?
Yeah, so I think I've picked both tracks in sort of celebrating the fact that Tony was on the podcast. two tracks that start with Tony McCarroll drumming, because as much as Tony's been criticised in some, you know, when they got rid of him, he got a bit of criticism for his drumming abilities, but what you can't argue with is that his drum beats start some of the most iconic Oasis songs. And so I've gone for Cloudburst, which is a B-side, which is one of my favourite Oasis tracks, and that's dedicated to Ben Higgins, who we once upon a time decided we were going to open a bar and a restaurant, we were going to call it Cloudburst, and it never quite happened, life got in the way, but yeah, so Cloudburst, and also the single, another one that starts with a brilliant Tony McCarroll beat, which is Supersonic.
Okay, well, that's what we will do. Thank you, James. Check out the Oasis podcast, we will tweet out the links from that. Thank you so much for joining us.
So thank you to Nick for letting me come on and talk about the podcast. It was really good fun, and make sure you guys listen in to the Britpop Revival show every Wednesday, or you can catch it online later. I think it's normally about Sunday when they drop it. So let's have a bit of new music now. So there's a band called The Volunteers that have been on my radar for a little while, and I've had a chat with Mark. And Mark has sent in the following message, which is, hi guys, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thevolunteers, and it's volunteers is T-E-A-R-S. Twitter, twitter.com/thevolunteers for all our up-and-coming gigs. We've just signed to Strawberry Moon Records with Hurricane Number 1 and the Dead Sea Skulls. Big things coming up, so check us out and keep up to date. We'd love to see you at a gig. Oasis is why this band happened and all started. They are the best band for the last 40 years, heroes in our time. Liam and Noel have to be up there with the best frontmen of all time, and we are just biding our time until they come back together and tour. So thanks very much for that, Mark. And this is their current single, which is called Oh Hello. So that was great. Keep an eye out for The Volunteers. Another one now. So we've all heard some of the live versions of Liam's songs, but it's always hard to get a feel for what the songs are actually like just hearing them bootlegged live. A better way is to go on YouTube, and there's some very clever and talented people on YouTube doing cover versions of the Liam songs. And one of the best ones is a guy called Static_Ian. He's done a version of Paper Crown, which was, which I think is my favourite of the new Liam songs. And I think in this version, it's really well produced, and you can really hear the structure of the song. So let's give that a listen.
You reached out for more, and as the waves came to the shore, you felt the fading of the wind. Jump back the metaphor, the bottom of the ladder is a deal never sealed. You went too far. A woman, now you're feeling the fear, 'cause you've never been alone before. And the roof is at the door.
great. So thank you, static_Ian, and everyone make sure you're checking him out on YouTube. Little bit of news. I'm releasing this on Friday night, which is the same night that Liam's playing Glastonbury. So by the time you've heard this, Liam may well have conquered Glastonbury Festival, or on the other stage at least. And Noel was doing the intro to Supersonic as well later that night. So the rumours are there could be a reunion, but we think it's extremely unlikely. So maybe by the time this comes out, it's happened. And this is old news, but there we go. Liam's still been doing loads more press, and probably the most entertaining of all the interviews he's done recently was with Noisy, which is a guy called John Doran. And it's good fun. It's pinged up all over Facebook and Twitter, so thank you for everyone who flagged that with me. But let's have a little clip of this in here, Liam talking about hanging out with Steve Coogan.
So, have you been watching The Trip with Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan?
Love it. Love Coogan. Love Rob Brydon. Love Coogan more, though, because you just look at him and you just go, even though he's cleaned up his shit and all that, that's what he's saying, that he just looks fucking like he's close to the bone.
But did you used to party with him back in the day?
Party with him once. There was a wedding going on. Me and him were sat at the bar having a couple of fucking drinks in this dungeon thing. Anyway, all the people come in and they're going like, geez, Liam, are you going to sing Wonderwall? It was like that. I ain't singing fucking Wonderwall, man. No, none of that nonsense. And I think that just round about that time it was out. I was going, no, I ain't singing on that shit. He's going, ah, leave him alone. I'll fucking sing a song. And I don't think they really knew who he is. And he got up on stage and sang It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones, but fucking mega. Yeah. So I'm at the back laughing, rolling around. They're all going, geez, I don't know what you're laughing at. He's a better singer than you. Anyway, go back to me fucking. Anyway, I think we drank a load of Guinness. I think we've gone up to our room to whatever, but none of that. And then I think we crashed out. Well, we definitely crashed out. I woke up in the morning and I see this lump in the bed. I've gone, oh God, who's this? I had a little tap on the fucking, and it was him, and he was fully clothed. He's gone, aha! I haven't seen him since.
Yeah.
That was it. I haven't fucking seen him since.
A couple of other bits to mention. Thank you very much for everyone who's done iTunes reviews. I've had a few more come over, which is great. So, as we like to do, I'm just going to read some of those out. So, Benners 2003 says, about time. Great, definitely, to hear about others' experience of the best band that's ever been, maybe, from inside and outside the industry. Thank you, Benners 2003. He gave me 5 stars. Also gave me 5 stars was Blake 657, who says, brilliant. Brilliant podcast. Takes me right back. We're going to live forever. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Blake 657. And then we've had Scouse Boy said, superb, great podcast with an excellent, genial host with cracking guests well in. I think he means me there, which is weird, but there we go. And then Piccadilly Records says, it's getting better, man. Great podcast, a must for all Oasis fans. I really enjoyed the Tony McCarroll, Steve White and Brian Cannon episodes in particular. I'm glad someone finally stepped up to the plate. Keep up the good work. Thank you for that. And I've also had a review on the iTunes Italian site, which is Mad For It, 5 stars by Jack Lag, J-A-K-L-A-G. The podcast everyone was waiting for, you're a legend, mate. Cheers from the biggest Oasis Italian fan living in London. So thank you, Jack Lag, that's greatly appreciated. If you have reviewed me and you happen to be in another country, then please let me know, because it's tricky to actually get hold of those iTunes reviews from other countries. So please let me know, that'd be great. And everyone that's done the reviews, thank you so much, it makes such a difference. We're still bouncing around in the iTunes chart. We got as high as number 4 in the UK charts a few days ago, which was incredible. So so any reviews you give me are greatly appreciated. Just to give you a heads up, we've put another article up on the patreon.com/OasisPod page. It's by, once again, by Richard Bowes, who is at RickyB123 on Twitter. He went to see the Stone Roses at Wembley the other day and has written a fantastic article all about it, and kind of commenting on how it's strange that the Stone Roses have kind of taken Oasis place as the big stadium filling indie band of the day. So that's definitely worth reading, so check it out. And then while you are over on Patreon, if you wanted to sign up to actually contribute to the podcast financially, then you are obviously more than welcome. And as you'll see, there's various rewards, and there's the reward that I've mentioned, which is the $3 or more per month, where we will write and record you a bespoke song in the Oasis style. So if you want to go ahead and do that, then we would greatly appreciate it. So just to clarify, the best ways to get in touch with me are oasispod@gmail.com. We are at Oasis Podcast on Twitter, or we are Oasis Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and also on YouTube, Oasis Podcast. So let's move on to these interviews at What Story at Northampton. It was a really good night. I had a great time and some really interesting little interviews. And so I hope you enjoy them. So after this brief musical interlude, we will go into our first interview, which is with Tristan, a.k.a. King Monkey.
Now I'm the king of the swingers, oh, the jungle VIP. I've reached the top and had to stop, and that's what's bothering me. I want to be a man cub, and stroll right into town, and be just like the other men. I'm tired of mugging around. Oh, ooby-doo, I want to be like you. I want to walk like you, talk like you, too.
So I'm here with the King Monkey. What's your real name?
I wish it was King Monkey, to be fair. My name's Tristan.
All right, Tristan, how's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Good. So what? How did you find Oasis? Give me your musical journey, mate.
Okay, well, it was kind of mid-90s. To be honest, I was into the club scene and jungle, and I'd fell out of love with music. The Roses were the sort of thing that I was into, but I kind of fell out of love with music because there was nothing around at the time. And I'd obviously seen a few Oasis tracks, like, you know, Supersonic and Cigarettes and Alcohol, but it never kind of gripped me. And then I was living in a shared house at the time. My parents had kicked me out. I was living in a shared house. And my friends used to come around. And one day, one of my friends had this album on tape, if anyone knows what tape cassette is these days, cassette tape. And they stuck it in and they started playing it, you know. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, you know, there was Rock and Roll Star and Shaker Maker and Supersonic. But actually, I immediately grabbed the tape and stuck a tab in it and stuck it in and started recording and said, can I record this? Unfortunately, I only got half of a tape's worth, but it took me up to Columbia. And I remember kind of playing it back afterwards, and it was actually, believe it or not, it was Columbia that actually kind of grabbed my attention. It was like, oh my God, who is this? What is this? And it was just the whole sound, the whole vibe, and I kind of, that drew me in, you know, and I just remember at the time I disassociated myself from music, but when I heard their songs and kept playing the half of the tape I had and with Columbia, it was like, yeah, this is, who is this? What is this? And I just remember being hooked from that very moment. And as I say, nothing really since the Roses that had kind of grabbed my attention. And from that moment on, I stopped kind of listening to club music. And I started getting into Oasis. I bought the album and I listened to it and I played it and they Bring Me On Down. I just loved the whole sound, the whole vibe. And I think I kind of connected to, you know, what they were about and how they kind of, you know, and, well, as I say, for me, I just kind of connected to the whole kind of, the whole vibe. So, yeah, it was the start of my journey, I guess, to be honest. And then I remember they released What's the Story, and me and my friends were going to Hemsby. It was a spur of the moment thing. It was like, we're going to Hemsby, let's go. And it was the time that Blur and Oasis had that kind of to do.
What's Hemsby?
Norfolk.
All right, fine. I don't know what Hemsby is.
Anyway, we were on our way and we had What's the Story, Morning Glory, and we just put that album on, and it was the whole car journey down there. It was just phenomenal. It was like, this is the best thing. And it actually inspired me to kind of get a guitar and teach myself to play the guitar. And as I say, there was a disconnect from music since the Roses. There was nothing else around at that time. But then Oasis came onto the scene, and I bought into the whole vibe, the whole thing. It was amazing.
Oh, nice one. What about the latest? So you got into Morning Glory, and then what about Be Here Now? And what do you think about that point?
To be fair, I was a bit I think I was a bit disillusioned with Be Here Now, because it, you know, they'd released Stephanie May. By that time, I knew the album Back to Front. I knew What's the Story, Morning Glory. But I knew, unlike some bands that kind of sold themselves out, even though Be Here Now wasn't the greatest album, it still had some great tracks on it. And I knew that Oasis hadn't sold themselves out.
No.
I knew they were in it for the music.
Yeah.
It was that obvious. And as I say, just the whole kind of scene. I didn't see Oasis, I can't remember what year it was, it must have been 98, 99, they played the Milton Keynes Bowl, and it was just one of the best gigs I've ever seen.
Yeah.
The whole kind of, you know, presence, the whole atmosphere, and as I say, I kind of, you know, bought into the vibe.
Yeah.
I connected with it, I think, and that's what kind of, as I say, drew me, and that's what brought me into sort of focusing on the music of the 90s at that time. But
cool. Did you carry on beyond Be Here Now and Standing on the Shoulders?
I mean, my CD collection at the time, because it was CDs then, had grown massively and still is. My wife wanted to clear all my CDs out, but I made sure that all my Oasis CDs were still there, all the singles.
I kept them.
And for me, although I guess, I don't, would you call them an albums band rather than a singles band? I guess they're a bit of both. A lot of bands you get, they're just an albums band. But Oasis had some really good standout singles. But it was the B-sides as well. For me, the B-sides were, you know, for anyone who thought, oh, I like Oasis, well, have you heard this song? Yeah, B-side, Columbia, Cloudburst, It's Better People, Rocking Chair, that sort of thing.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
It was just like, well, actually, to be fair,
who else did that?
Yeah,
I mean, The Jam had good B-sides, but not at that level.
No.
Not at that level
Exactly.
Actually, these songs are better than most bands' A-sides and albums.
To be honest, there were some of the B-sides were, in my opinion at that time, were actually as strong as the singles. And
you know what? I think that drove it, because everyone went out and bought those singles, because you had to buy the CD singles.
Yeah.
I was just saying to my mate Gary in there that, like, when HMV did three Oasis singles for a tenner, and I remember, I hadn't thought about it for 20 years now, but yeah, I remember going back in and buying like three for a tenner.
I remember when they did the Benson and Hedges style
pack. Yeah, the cigarette pack.
It was like, right, because it had all the B-sides, and even tracks like Whatever, which wasn't obviously an album track, was just phenomenal. But I can't confess to sort of being there right from the start, and I know some people have obviously seen Oasis, like they came here to Northampton in 94. They didn't kind of, it wasn't on my radar.
But what's funny, you know, like, because Ant said it in his episode and a couple other guys said it, it's like, oh, that's my big regret, because I had the chance to see them. It's like, it doesn't matter when you get to them, if you get to them, then you're into it. But it's so bizarre that, like, that sort of, I remember, you know, I said in my sort of origin story, you know, it's like, I remember seeing them on the chart show and thinking, like, what is this? I'm not, you know, it's just another one of those indie bands with that haircut. No, I'm not bothered, you know.
And, but they had an aura. Roses had. The Roses were short-lived, but Oasis, they had that that aura again, and it was a bit more kind of in your face. And as I say, I connected to it. And to be honest, growing up with their music, it kind of defined me. It changed me as a person. And I kind of always think it kind of brought, a self-confidence within myself, because,
great to hear.
But also, I remember when they played Nebworth, I couldn't go to Nebworth. I was working at the local hospital, Northampton General.
What were you doing then?
I was a porter. But at the time, Nebworth, I had to work at the hospital. And I remember I was so desperate, and it was obviously live on Radio 1, so I used to sneak into the theatres with a tape, and put it in the cassette tape, stick it on record, bugger off,
awesome.
Try and work out when 45 minutes was, because obviously, you know,
for the tape, 45
for the tape,
minutes, yeah,
sneak
yeah.
back in, turn it over, and yeah, I remember, like, my friend unfortunately has my tape, although if it's still around anymore, I remember Live Forever, there was a lyric in Live Forever where they changed it to Two Sugars in My Tea.
I just thought
that's brilliant.
It's different. Yeah.
It's live. It's different. Yeah, it's not. So
you take two sugars in your tea.
Yeah,
absolutely. I loved it. That was all the thing. Even then, we've just been in here and heard them do Some Might Say, and there's the one performance of Liam. I think it might be in G-Max where he goes, "You don't believe in heaven." Oh yeah. And it was like the only time where Liam did something different like that. You know, normally he just does the record. but like he actually tried something a little bit different. It's just when you're a big Oasis fan, you remember those little moments the take the two sugars and your tea, just the difference.
It was just a step out of the ordinary. It was, it made it more unique, I guess, to the people who were there. That was a massive gig, and I'm gutted I didn't get to go. But I also remember, you know, Oasis were the first band, I think, I can relate to, that actually made me change the way I looked. So haircut at the time, I asked a girl I knew who was a hairdresser, I said, can you give me an Oasis haircut? And at the time, no one else kind of, you know, was really into it, but she gave me, I guess, as possible. Well, no, I didn't have curtains, I had some hair stuff. All she did was trim my fringe and gave me sort of longer, you know, longer sides. Yeah. And and my clothes, and I would go and I'd have an extra swagger in my step.
Absolutely.
Because some might say, and
you had it.
I connected to it and I thought, I understand it. So
I would say, I haven't talked about this before, but we had me and my mate Ben went to Spain with my folks when I was like 16, I think, or maybe 17. This might be the summer of 97, I think. So it's just, it was summer of 97. So it's just for Be Here Now came out, and we had it because I had like the Q magazine that reviewed it before it had come out.
Yeah.
Which, there's no way to hear it. So I remember reading about it, and we were talking about deciding what our favourite songs were before we'd heard it, because we were like, oh. I remember now, it said that Don't Go Away ends with a shimmering coda. Oh, shimmering coda, that sounds good.
What's a shimmering coda? What is
it? That ending,
I've never heard of it before.
And it's like Bacharach style horns. I'm like, oh, I want to hear the Bacharach style horns.
Well, I guess then they kind of got, you know, I guess Noel tried to be a bit more inventive in terms of including, you know, orchestral sounds and but as I said to you earlier, they remained true to themselves. They didn't sell themselves. There are a lot of bands that have a great first album, and then subsequently they become so big from that album they become too commercialised, and they're driven by the record label in terms of, this is what we want, this is how you have to be. And Oasis were like, no, not at all. This is how we are, this is who we are.
We're going to step up, we're going to do something different, and we're going to, like, you know, spend more money on it and have an orchestra or whatever. But it still had that same courage and integrity.
Exactly. I remember an interview where they were, you know, it was very early on, where they said about, you know, they said they were going to be the biggest band in the world. And at that time, they weren't quite. Obviously, they did grow to that stature. But the Roses said the same thing in an interview. You know, we believe, it was that self-belief.
It's a northern thing that we're going to be the best in the world. You know, you say, whoa,
they believed
them. Fair play to say that, you know.
They believed in themselves, and, you know, they didn't sell themselves out. They kind of stuck to what they believed in, and they continued to release great albums. And, you know, not all the albums were as great as What's the Story, obviously, but there were still some great tracks that were released. And yeah, you know,
it's good, and it made such an impact on people's lives. That's the thing, in the way that no other band has done since, I don't think. You know?
No, definitely. I can't think of another band since, in terms of my music taste, in terms of the Roses, that actually captivated me and made me stand up and think, who is this? What's this all about? And I want to be a part of this. So
exactly. Yeah, that's what it's all about, man. And what about into the solo stuff? Have you followed Liam? Have you followed Noel? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, Noel's obviously had a great success. You can tell, he's very talented, songwriter, and both his albums have been fantastic, and obviously he's due to release another album. Liam, it's kind of, I guess, you know, wanting, I guess to a degree, he wants to kind of assert himself as, you know, he was part of Oasis, but it wasn't just Noel. Obviously, Liam now wants to kind of assert himself as a kind of singer-songwriter, and fair play to him. You know, I've heard his Wall of Glass and a couple of his other tracks sort of via sort of YouTube. Yeah, and to be fair, you know, I think he's going to make a great success of it, purely because he's still got that drive, he's still got that passion. He knows what the music industry is about to him and what it means to his fans.
Yeah.
And if you said to me, who's better, Liam or Noel? Well, you can't distinguish because they're kind of completely different. They're unique in their own right. Yeah. So
it's Lennon McCartney for me. I know it's not. It's different because
it's as close to as you'll ever get.
It's different because obviously, like Lennon McCartney, we're both songwriters at that level. Liam's not at that level of songwriting.
No,
but you need Liam with Noel. Like Noel's albums, I love them both, but you just sat there thinking, like I was listening on the drive up, I Want to Live in a Dream inside a record machine.
Yeah.
I just want to hear Liam sing it. I don't want to hear Noel sing it. I want to hear Liam sing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I've always said the songs that Noel sang from the Oasis tracks are Noel songs. And the songs that Liam sang are Liam songs. Yeah. And I've heard kind of variations of both. But to me, from the originals, you know, Noel's songs are Noel's songs, Liam songs are Liam songs. And now I think Liam's got a lot of experience from his days in Oasis. He might, you know, his songwriting credentials are kind of going to be a bit stand up in the air against Noel's, but you know, he's kind of trying to separate himself and tread his own path. And you can't blame him for doing that because he doesn't want to just be associated as Liam Gallagher,
the singer of
front man.
Songs,
yeah. So he's now kind of stepping out into the big world. I mean, he obviously in BDI and stuff. BDI, I wasn't totally overall with their first album, but their second album, B, was you know, up there.
Yeah.
I think the first album was rushed. I think it was a bit, you know, a case of trying to make a point more than anything.
Mm.
Whereas the second album was a bit more take stock, sit back, be a bit more clever about things.
Yeah.
And I think there's a massive difference. There are some great tracks on Disappear
there's
Still
great
Speeding.
Tracks on both.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
But
I think B is you know is definitely hit the album of the two.
Yeah. And so, reunion, yes or no?
Half of me says yes, just because it's Oasis, but half of me says, you know, they did it. Would they still have that same kind of, you know, appeal? I guess it depends on the songs they bring out, really. It's all, obviously, Noel was the main kind of, you know, songwriter, the main kind of the protagonist behind most, if not all of the albums. Obviously, a lot of the other guys had some input. I'm sat on the fence. If they got together, it'd be brilliant. Obviously, like the Roses have got together,
they've released
two new singles. Where's the album?
Where's the album, guys?
They're obviously playing tonight, and I'm gutted I can't be at Wembley. To be honest, I saw them at their homecoming at Heaton Park, where BDI supported, and that was brilliant. And I can now say in my lifetime, I've seen the Roses, I've seen Oasis, I've seen BDI.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Would Oasis reforming have that same
magic?
It's been so long.
And have you listened to the podcast? And who do you want as a future guest in the podcast?
Yes, I've listened to several of your podcasts. I don't Paulo Hewitt was my favourite, I guess, because I've got his book, I could relate to that. And I don't know, who would I want as a future guest? I don't know. I don't know. I guess maybe, you know, some of the guys that they kind of sort of worked with at the time, like Bobby Gillespie, and you know that bands of that kind of generation
bands,
era.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, it's a tough one.
I'll try my best, man. I'll try and get Bobby. I haven't quite got his number, but
no.
I'll search the yellow pages
but,
for.
But you've kind of done it. You know, you've obviously got Paulo Hewitt, you've obviously got Tony McCarroll. So unless you get Bonehead, that would be actually Bonehead. If
Bonehead.
You get Bonehead, because him and Liam are really close.
They are.
I know obviously watching Supersonic that, you know, Tony McCarroll was a bit of the outsider. He was, I guess they didn't kind of buy into him. I guess he was very, I think they saw him as very restricted in terms of where he could go and where the band wanted to go, which is why they kind of ousted him so early, which is a shame really. But you can kind of understand. So I guess, you know, Bonehead, Grigsy, the original, you know,
the original five.
Yeah, definitely.
Good. Tristan, thank you so much, man. You've been on the Oasis podcast.
Thank you.
What's your name, mate?
Simon.
Hello, Simon. You're wearing a Pulp t-shirt. It's a very cool Is that a vintage Pulp t-shirt from the 90s?
Do you know what? I used to have one, but unfortunately I've had to have a knocked off one. It's probably been knocked up by some entrepreneur on eBay.
Right, you're clearly a Geordie. Why are you in Northampton?
I was here for 16 years. I just didn't leave. You know what I mean? You come down here, you go to university. We're a very lazy race and we just can't be arsed in general.
All right. And why are you at What's the Story tonight?
I'm here because I like 90s music.
Yeah. All right, and what about Oasis?
They've got one good album, haven't they?
No, they've got more than one good album.
No, they've got one.
But what's the one?
It's definitely Maybe. The rest of... Okay. Definitely Maybe is very good. What's the Story is kind of good. Everything else is pure shit.
But that's going to make our listeners very unhappy.
Aye, I know. But, like, what can you... To be fair, Oasis couldn't carry Marion's jockstrap.
God bless you. Jamie for Marion was a very attractive man.
You know, he's sexy fucking, isn't he?
I'd turn for him.
I would turn for him. I like Marion, Long Pigs, Pulp, Swears. I think they're all a little bit better. And when I say a bit, I mean infinitely.
Well, we're going to call this an end to this interview.
Am I going to be the like public enemy number one of you?
You are. The Oasis listeners are about to destroy you. Anyway, what was your full name again?
I'm not going to tell you that or where I live.
All right, well, this is a random Geordie wearing a Pulp t-shirt in Northampton. There we go. So what's your name, man?
My name's Steve. I do the Oasis Nights with Ant, What's the Story Nights.
Well, is it just Oasis Nights or what?
No, we do everything. We did Nights with Rick Witter. We do a 90s sort of rock night as well, Come As You Are. Yeah, we do three different nights.
So what was your first experience of Oasis?
It's a good one. It was when they played at the Roadmender. They played in the bar of the Roadmender.
So you were there.
I was there.
94.
Is that when it was? Is that far away already?
That far away.
Yeah, it's making me feel old. But I didn't have a ticket. And there were three of us who didn't have tickets. All the rest of my mates had tickets. And we went down there anyway. And I think Liam and Noel were on the roof playing football. Yes. Shouting down, you're not going to get in and stuff. And there used to be a back entrance into the Roadmender through the toilets. So me and my mates walked around. Two that had tickets went in, opened the toilet door for us, and we were in.
Sweet. So did you know the guys then, to let you in through that room?
Yeah, because a few of my mates had tickets, we didn't.
Okay.
So yeah, so it was a good one. And the bar was tiny, like tiny.
What did you think of Oasis then?
Oh, I loved them. I had a cassette that came free with The Enemy, and a demo of Cigarettes and Alcohol. That's where I first heard them. And I remember being in my car playing that to a friend. And just the look on his face, it's just, this is unbelievable, you know. And it changed everything. It changed everything for me. It changed everything for the whole group of us.
But what bands were you into, like, pre-Oasis?
Before that, rock bands, stuff like Nirvana, that sort of, you know, like, heavier stuff. I used to dye my hair jet black and wear army boots. Yeah, and it just changed from then. Yeah. We always say that was our sort of last great sort of movement.
Yeah.
You know, there's been nothing like it since. Yeah.
So that was definitely Maybe, and then you carried on what through to Morning Glory?
Yeah, I saw them. I think I saw them three times without paying. I went over the fence at Glastonbury. Saw them there.
Was that 95?
That was the first time they played there. Yeah, they played in the afternoon. Then I think they headlined the year after, didn't they?
So that was 94. You went over the fence. In 95. Did you pay then, or did you?
We went over the fence again. That was more difficult to get in, but. Yeah, I think a lot of people went over the fence then, and I just remember me and my friends were right in the middle, and that was the first time as well that I felt something's not right. It was just really scary because so many people were there.
Yeah.
I mean, the official figure was probably like 80,000 or something. It was well over.
Madness.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And carrying on from there, what about the music? What about Morning Glory when that came out versus Definitely Maybe? What was your thoughts?
I like Definitely Maybe. I remember I had a friend who worked in Spinadisc down there, down the road, and he had a cassette single of it, of a, like a promo before it came out. And I was just telling Ant this actually, that I said, oh, can I just have a listen to it? Give me an hour to have a listen to it. And I remember running home, up into my bedroom, I had a double cassette player.
Quickly taped it.
And just listened to it non-stop. Just non-stop. It was just the best times ever. You know, I just met my wife. There used to be a place called Madison's. And it was like, I remember going in there and knowing everybody from the door to the bar.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it was Oasis that really kind of brought everybody together in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was loads of other bands at the time. But
there
like...
were. I was a big Blur fan as well. I still love Blur. But I just think the atmosphere with Oasis was different to Blur.
Well, what was it? Why did Oasis...
I don't know. I think it was just more edgy, wasn't it? You know, Blur, sort of more fun, you know, and Oasis kind of said more, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They didn't say that much. It wasn't like specifically lyrically.
No, not lyrically, but I don't know, it just connected with me. And again, that may have been because a group of lads out on a Saturday night going to a nightclub where you know you're going to hear Oasis. It's more of a laddie thing. I know it's a bit of a cliche, but it's more Oasis was more like a lad sort of band.
Yeah.
And I just think that's what it was. You know, now it's different now. We're older. And there's nothing to kind of, even kids now, there's nothing to grab them like that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't imagine people here are in bars in town, going, meeting up somewhere, knowing you're going to hear the songs you like. You know, it's just not the same. It's not the same.
And I found that with the excitement about, like, the Liam gigs, right? But the people have actually been, like, logging on and watching and then talking about Liam gigs.
Yeah.
And it's like, there hasn't been that. You know, no one's doing that for, what, Arctic Monkeys or whoever it is, you know?
Yeah. And I don't think it's sort of... I mean, I don't know how old you are, but I bet you're not as old as me.
I'm 37.
Oh, yeah, I'm 45. And I don't think it's... I don't think it's just the older ones that are interested now either. I think there's a good group of younger people that are latched onto Oasis and now will love Liam stuff as well.
Mm. Mm. So what about going on from Morning Glory? What was your thoughts on being here now?
Again, I liked it. I know a lot of people didn't. I remember... I got my sister, because we were in Turkey on holiday, and we were coming home that night, and my sister went to town and bought it for me on vinyl, double vinyl. And she knew I was coming back that night, and she got interviewed by the Chronicle and Echo, actually, about that album, and she said, no, I don't like it. I think she got asked if she preferred Oasis or the Beatles, and she said the Beatles.
Of course.
Yeah. And I came home from Turkey that night and played. It was Saturday, and we were going to Madison's that night as well. And I just went playing the album and just thinking that, you know, it's a perfect way to get set up. Get home from holiday, straight out, listening to that, straight out on the town again, knowing I'm going to hear that album when I go out again. Yeah.
And so what was it that inspired you to go on and do these DJ nights?
Well, at the time, the first one we did, there wasn't anybody doing them in Northampton anyway. And Anne told you, it just went crazy. Absolutely, we were going to do it in the small room of the Roadmender, and we sold out the small room so fast, and they moved us to the bar. We sold that out again really quickly, and in the end sold the whole venue. And I'd always wanted to play the Roadmender, always wanted to DJ there, and that night was unbelievable. And I was surprised. I think everybody was surprised. But again, because nobody had done it before. It was kind of like the first sort of get together that everybody had. And it went on from there.
Yeah. All right. What's next? What's next for what's the story?
That's a good question. We've got a Arctic Monkeys versus Libertines night coming up.
Wow.
That's in September. Then we've got another Come As You Are. That's in September as well. Yeah, and then
it's a busy month.
Yeah. But we want to move on. I think we're gonna have the Clone Roses back again next year. And maybe some other guests, some other DJs. I'd like to work with Witter again.
Yeah.
He was a cool bloke, he was real good.
Yeah,
nice fella.
And go back to Oasis, what do you think is the legacy of Oasis versus the other UK bands?
I just think that our generation are never going to forget Oasis and those times. Oh, sorry, I'm so tired and... I'm not even drunk. Yeah, I don't know. I can't answer it. I'm too tired.
All right. Well, what other bands? What other bands mean the same to you much as all?
Oh, I can answer that one. The Smiths and Morrissey are just my...
What's that for you?
Just my... They can't do anything wrong. Morrissey can't do any wrong for me. And, yeah, and I'll always love the Smiths. Yeah, that's kind of it for me.
And what's your favourite Smiths track? We're going to drop a Smiths track in right now.
Let's play... it's got to be This Charming Man. I know it's very obvious, but there's a good story between this, right?
Go on.
When we used to go out, all of that, every pub we used to go in, This Charming Man used to come on, up to the point where they used to think I used to sneak off, put it on the jukebox, ready for when we came in. And, it's a song that means a bit to me and my wife. So, yeah.
Were you there on a punched bill, punched bicycle on a hillside desolate with
I
her?
I still am on there with a punched bicycle every weekend.
Punctured bicycle on a hillside desolate.
Desolate.
There you go. Well, there you go. There we go. All right, cheers, man.
Thank you very much.
Punctured bicycle on a hillside desolate.
Of Oasis?
It probably actually is Will Cooper giving me a tape of Oasis and then taking it home and listening to it again and again and again and realising that that was fucking beauty, mate.
Right, and what track jumped out at you from that tape?
Live Forever.
Yeah.
Slide Away.
Slide Away is a perfect song, mate.
What is it about Slide Away that is so special?
You could easily say everything, but if you wanted to pick a specific moment, second verse,
yeah,
feedback into the second line of the second verse. It's glorious.
All right,
that is the perfect management of rock and roll music.
Okay, and going on from Slide Away, what was your thoughts on Morning Glory?
You've got some great tracks on there.
Yep.
You have actually the last three tracks, Morning Glory, yep, Untitled, Champagne Supernova.
Yeah.
Probably the greatest three-song combination any album ever.
How about Sgt. Pepper's With a Little Help, Lucy in the Sky?
Yeah, Jesus.
Really? With Lucy in the Sky? That is lame, mate. Lame.
Right.
You know that's an offside goal, and you're still appearing for it. I'm embarrassed for you.
Tomorrow, My Guitar Gently Weeps. Hey, and Piggies is around there somewhere.
Basically, I've defenestrated you, and you are left scrabbling around for something, anything, to salvage your dignity. You've got homes, you've got family. Not tonight, you haven't. You've got nothing left to go to, because I have owned you without a three-song combo.
Is one of the three-song combo like the second bit of the Swamp Song?
Yes, Untitled.
Yeah, yeah. 45 seconds, and I still win this.
The man that calls the room to do this. The man that calls the room with the best cup gets up.
So there you go, that was a lot of fun. Thank you very much for everyone involved who did those little interviews. There was a few more that I recorded that I couldn't end up using because they were weren't acceptable podcast material. But there you go. Thank you very much to everyone. It was a great night. Thank you to Ant and Steve for putting it together. Thanks for everyone that came. And hopefully we'll do it again sometime. If you want us to do something where you are, wherever you are in the country, preferably in the country, I know there's quite a few listeners in America and Sweden and Italy and places, maybe a bit of a trek to head over to you guys. But if you're around the UK and you want us to put something on there, get in touch and we could make it happen. And yeah, the funny, I like that at the end with that three song combo. Is there a better three song combo in rock and roll than Morning Glory, Untitled 2 and Champagne Supernova? Drop me a tweet at Oasis Podcast and we'll put it together. So that was the What's the Story night from last Saturday. We're now another week on, and I'm recording this on Monday night. So we've had Glastonbury, and and it was very, very exciting. So first off, we had Noel on the Friday night introducing Supersonic, and that was quite entertaining. Let's have a little clip of that.
So we're here. We're gonna screen Supersonic, which is this incredible documentary, which follows Oasis from when they first started. And the film follows, they go from being absolutely nobodies in Manchester, 2.5 years later, they're playing Nebworth, two nights, defining gigs of the 1990s. And I kind of want to ask you, Noel, aside from the booze, the cocaine, the crystal meth,
don't forget the weed.
There's also the weed.
Or the ecstasy.
The acid. How did you kind of get into this creative groove where you were just, living in Manchester, not really making music, 2.5 years later, Nebworth? What was that period like for you?
Well, living in Manchester, you're living in that, yeah. What are you fucking booing for? You all want to be us. You all want to be us. Living in Manchester, we were surrounded by some of the bona fide greatest bands that have ever come out of England. So you couldn't help but be inspired to make music. And the whole being a musician happened by chance, you know. I wasn't born with a gift, I don't think. I think I kind of learnt it because I had fuck all better to do, But I think Oasis could only have come from Manchester. I don't think it could have come from anywhere else.
So that was very exciting to hear that. And meanwhile, while Noel was doing that, over on the main stage, Radiohead were playing, and by most people's estimation, were boring the pants off everyone who was watching them. Meanwhile, a loyal listener had tried to get into Noel and had gone in to see Radiohead and was getting ready for then Liam on the Saturday, and he gave me a call to let me know how things were going at Glastonbury.
Calvin, just to say, good to speak to you, Bo. I know you were one of the first people, I think, following me on Twitter before I even did an episode, so thank you very much for that.
I did indeed. No worries at all.
No, so it's all good. So where are you from and where are you right now?
So I'm from Yorkshire, Barnsley in Yorkshire, as it happens. And I'm currently at Glastonbury.
Fair enough. And when did you arrive at Glastonbury?
I actually arrived this year a bit later. So I've been the last 10 years with just the 1 year off. Normally come on a Wednesday, but this year I had to work, so I only got here late on Thursday night.
Oh, okay. Cool. And who have you seen so far, mate?
So yesterday it was a bit quiet, to be fair. I just kind of wandered around. I watched a bit of Royal Blood. They sounded all right. Saw Ride, who were really good.
Cool.
They're one of the best acts I've seen, actually, in all the times I've been here. They sounded great, although it wasn't that big a crowd, which is a bit disappointing.
That's surprising. I thought it was going to be pretty big with the new album just coming out.
Yeah, same, yeah. The John Peel tent was probably half full at most.
Wow.
And that thing can get quite busy. Mm. So I've seen quite a bit in there over the years. It can get quite rammed. But they were very good. Trying to think who else I saw. I saw Radiohead last night. It was a bit disappointing.
Well, I was going to say, I started watching it and then fell asleep last night, but so yeah, that says a lot, I think.
Well, I mean, it says a lot about radio, but me and my mates were sort of there. We got there sort of about half an hour before they were due on. And they'd come on, literally, and we didn't know they were on. So they started playing the first song. I think it was the first song of their new album. And it was sort of playing, and then I said to one of my mates, why are they playing their own music before they come on? And none of us knew, and then about 30 seconds later, he went, oh, no, they are actually on. So there was, like, nothing on the stage. And I don't know whether it was because the volume was low the whole time, which was very strange. So, like, for the whole gig, you know, you could actually talk to the person next to you without shouting, which is very strange for the Pyramid Stadium. We were pretty close. But it was just so... I don't know whether it came across better on the TV or not. A couple of my mates from home have texted say it did look quite good on the TV, but it was just very sort of slow-paced set, and they seemed to go, the you know, the main songs they played at the back end of it, which is very strange. And I've never seen them, you know. That's one of the reasons, one of the main things I was looking forward to. They're probably the only band, obviously very much into 90s music, and they're the only band I've never seen for one reason or another. So I was quite up for that, but they were pretty disappointing, to be fair.
Fair enough. And did you... I heard you tried to get into the Knoll screening of Supersonic. It didn't happen.
Yeah, well, I went up there because I was sort of... I didn't know which to do, because I have seen Supersonic, obviously, and but I thought it'd be nice to see Knoll introduce it. But the way it's positioned, I don't know whether you've been to Glastonbury, but the tent where it's in, you can sort of get an idea from a fair distance away if you're going to get in, because there's people just flooding out the sides. And it was clear, you know, you walked up to it, and they probably could have filled that tent twice. So I thought, I'm not going to get anywhere near here. So I just turned around and came back for radio.
Oh, fair play. And then, so later on today, we've got Liam playing. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think most people are. I mean, I think I expect a pretty crowd there, because pretty much everyone you speak to is going to go and watch it. I don't think there'll be any surprises with the set. I think he'll probably play the same as what he's just been doing on his little solo tour. But looking forward to it, really am.
Yeah, although we know as well that Noel, Liam, Andy Bell, Paul Gallagher, all in the same area in one time. We know that Paul is still mates with both Noel and Liam. He could be the glue to bring them together. Could it happen, mate? Will you be there for the reunion?
It's not going to happen today. I was just talking with this about someone yesterday, and I was saying if Oasis reform, knowing Noel as we do, they're not going to do a secret comeback or something like that. They'll announce it. They'll sell out their own super concert somewhere. Because a mate of mine was saying yesterday there was rumours that no one knew who the band who were going to play in the park were.
Right.
Park at 7:30, and one of the lads said he'd been on the train, and he'd been sat next to someone who worked for Sony, and they were 85% certain it was going to be Oasis. And I was like, if Oasis are reforming, they're not doing the 7:30 slot on the park stage in Glastonbury. I think they will reform eventually, but they'll have their own concerts. It won't be at a festival, I wouldn't think.
Cool. Mate, well, I'll let you go and get ready for Liam, but I really, really appreciate the call. And
no worries at all.
I am he, it's you are he, you are me, and we are all together. Rock and roll star.
So thank you to Calvin Betton for recording that little interview. I didn't speak to Calvin again, but I did have a couple of messages back and forth with him, and he told a similar story to a lot of people that were there, actually, that I was following along on Twitter, that apparently the sound was really bad in the on the other stage. So I think us sitting watching it on TV live on the red button, because they were showing Katy Perry on BBC, so well done BBC for that. But on the red button, you could watch Liam live, which loads of us did. And yeah, it was fantastic. It's great to see him. As you might have heard from that first note of Rock and Roll Star, it was a bit dodgy. There was a couple of other bits were a bit dodgy. I think the Do You Know What I Mean guitar solo was just a bit off. I don't quite think his band's there yet. But, you know, it's early days. These are the first few gigs in the tour. And what I did really like was hearing the more fleshed out sound. So they had the additional singers and the additional brass section as well. That's the first for the tour, I think. And, yeah, that was great to hear. And I think it particularly sounded good on You Better Run, You Better Hide. So let's have a little bit of that. And then came the moment of Glastonbury, and one of the biggest moments in music this year and for a long time. So we all know that Liam's been finishing this current gigs with this bizarre kind of a cappella with a little bit of maracas thrown in for good measure, a version of Live Forever. And so the maracas start up and we think that's exactly what he's going to do. He does a nice little intro dedicating a song to the recent horrible tragedies we've had in this country. And he doesn't go into Live Forever. He sings Slip Inside the Eye of Your Mind. And something, when I just was confused. I thought, wait, that's Don't Look Back in Anger. And then, yeah, I was just so shocked and taken aback because he's never sung it before. There's rumour that he did sing it in the studio and there's demos of it. In fact, some people on Twitter even said they've got a copy of it, but it's never surfaced. We're not aware of it. Speaking to the likes of Brian Garcia, he hasn't got it. And if anyone would, he'd have it. And yeah, and so Liam Gallagher sang Don't Look Back in Anger. And very kindly for all the people, all the amateur editors on YouTube, he did it with very little backing so that you can actually nicely splice it into the recording. So we're going to have a little bit of Liam's a cappella Don't Look Back in Anger.
Nice one. I want to dedicate this next song, last song, to the people who were killed in the Manchester attacks in London and the Grenfell Tower. So if you know the words, join in. Slip inside the eye of your mind. Don't you know you might find a better place to play? You said that you'd never been, but all the things that you've seen, they slowly fade away. So I signed a revolution from my bed, 'cause you said the brains I had went to my head. Step outside, the summertime's in blue. Stand up beside the fireplace and take that look from off your face, 'cause you ain't ever gonna burn my heart out. Over to you.
And so obviously the debate then instantly raged on Twitter, and I had to throw a poll up, didn't I? Who sang Don't Look Back in Anger best? Liam, Noel, Chris Martin or Lasagna? And Liam went out into an early lead. I was very surprised, and we had some good, interesting and considered debate and some mudslinging. Noel went out in the end, which I think is understandable, seeing he's been singing a song for, 20 odd years, and Liam's done that one slightly dodgy version. And as I mentioned, there's people have started slicing it together, and the best one I think is this that I found, which is the edits on YouTube. So check this out. So that was Glastonbury. So we didn't get the reunion that we thought might happen, but well, we never knew. We knew it was never going to happen, really. But you know, hey, we can live in hope. Those of us who want it to happen again. But yeah, amazing to see Liam, and can't wait to for the next few shows once it starts to get even more flushed out. I mean, the fact he's doing Reading and Leeds, and he's second on the main stage. So I think this Glastonbury was really just a taster. By the time we get to end of August and those shows, I think he's going to be in full effect, so that's going to be great. And then Noel's going to be doing these big shows with you too as well in the next few weeks. So all you guys that are going out and seeing these shows, enjoy them, and yeah, and give me a shout, let me know how they went, drop me an audio message or get in touch, and we could record a little interview to let me know how it goes. So that's about it. I was just going to do the last few little bits of housekeeping. We had a lovely message come in from one of our American fans, so here it is.
Hi, my name's Eric Carlisle. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. I just wanted to say how much of a fan I am of the Oasis podcast, and to keep up the great work. Thanks.
So thank you very much to Eric for that fantastic little message. Any of you in other countries as well, especially that want to just drop me a little audio message, I'll play it, and I do really greatly appreciate it. And if you want to big up a blog or a website or whatever you do, then feel free. I don't mind giving a bit of free advertising out here. We're all trying to help each other out, aren't we? Eric also drew my attention to the fact there's been some additional reviews on the iTunes US site, which I couldn't see from the UK. So they're as follows. The Oasis Podcast by Whatever79. He says, finally a podcast about Oasis and the Gallagher Brothers. I grew up with this band. They will always be the soundtrack of my life. Much needed podcast for such a great band. Thank you. You are welcome, Whatever79. There we were, now here we are, by JJHVVVH, long-time Oasis fan. It would be interesting to have an episode discussing Pretty Green Clothing and Noel's amazing jackets. I'd be more than happy to do that. I've actually put a message out to Pretty Green. I've dropped them an email and a couple of tweets, and no one's come back to me. So come on, Pretty Green, what are you doing? Anyone that knows someone at Pretty Green, tell them to get in touch. A bit of free advertising for them. Or actually, no, they can sponsor me and give me some money. And here's a review by The Band Delta. So this is Brandon Arendt, who we played a track by Delta last week. And he says, finally a podcast to sort out all the... or don't believe. It's all fun, no matter. Keep up the good work. It's mega. So thank you very much, Brandon, and we will have you on soon. And Casey Aceface says, Oasis fans all around the world rejoice. The love that James has for this cultural phenomenon of a band is infectious and will pull you right in, whether you're a casual Oasis fan or a diehard. The guests he wrangles are amazing and will give you a constant new look at this group. So yeah, so thank you so much to all those guys who have done reviews. And if you've done a review on an international site and I've never read it out, then just drop me a line and let me know, because I can't see them sometimes. And so very finally, just to say, I just put a quick message out on Twitter just to say that I was recording this last link, and did anyone want to get a quick message in? And so let's see. McDude, at McDude on Twitter, said, got to say how good Liam Gallagher's vocals were at Glastonbury, like the early days. So well done, McDude. And AGFA, which is Steve, who recorded the interview I played earlier from the Northampton show, said, "You can change my song choice to Work is a four-letter word if you like." No, we're happy enough with this charming man, mate. That's fine. So I think that's it. I mean, the only other thing to say is that we've got a couple of interesting episodes coming up. I've also already recorded with Rob from the Britpop Store, so that will come up next. I'm due to record an episode of Outside the Cinema, which is a film podcast, obviously, run by a guy called Bill Folkeson, who's a massive Oasis fan. So check out Outside the Cinema, especially if you're into cult movies. And yeah, we're going to be discussing my favourite British music-based films. As you can imagine, Supersonic might be showing up on there. If you can get me in touch with someone that was involved in the Oasis story, I would greatly appreciate it. Hit me up on Twitter at Oasis Podcast, oasispod at gmail, and obviously on Facebook and Instagram as well. So that's all from this pretty mixed bag of an episode. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, stay young.